This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church and their campus in Alexander City, Alabama. For more information, visit www.mypassion.church.
Morning, Passion Church family. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to say thank you so much for being here, being a part of this service today. I'm truly convinced that this is the first day of the rest of your life. God has a plan for you. That plan for your life and for my life is that we would reach others for Christ. Somebody asked me one time, so I wonder, what's the will of God for my life? That's it. To reach others for Christ. First and foremost, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But we must share our testimony. We must share what Jesus has done for us. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you if you would to hold it up. And if you would say this with me together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading for today is taken out of Mark chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there with me. And if you're taking notes, I encourage you to do that. As I shared with you before, taking notes enables you, it's something about writing it down and have an opportunity to go back and look at it again. And God will always speak to you if it's His Word. You can read it once and get something from it. You can read it again and get something greater from it. You read it a third time, you're going to get even more from it because God's Word is alive. It's not a dead word, it's a live word. The title of my message for you today is, Are You Ashamed of Jesus? Are you ashamed of Jesus? Over in the chapter 5 of the book of Mark, it begins reading in verse 1, says, They came to the other side of the sea, of the country, of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound and with shackles and with chains, the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs. He was crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He cried out with a loud voice unto him and said, What do I have to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I beg and implore of you, by God, that you do not torment me. He said to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And they asked him, But what is your name? He answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, Will you send us to the swines that we may enter them? And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swines, and there were about 2,000 of them. And they ran into the herd, ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and they drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swines had told him in the city, and in the country. They went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demonized and demon-possessed and had the legion sitting, but he was clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them now how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him and depart out of the region. And when he got into the boat,
He who had been demon-possessed, he begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but he said to him, "You go home to your friends and family and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I don't know this morning what God has done for you. Some of you I know have had tremendous blessings. Bodies have been healed. Maybe marriages have been restored. But I'm sure that Jesus has done something for you. Now, if you have been born again, received him into your heart, the greatest miracle has happened. Because he has taken you from death into life. We know that serving in the world, living in the world, that's a life of death. But when Christ comes into your heart, we know if you've had a genuine born-again experience with Jesus Christ, him coming into your heart, you know that a miracle has taken place and that he has changed you. Now, I've often wondered sometimes in the life of people that I meet that say they are Christians, they have received Christ, the look on their face doesn't really cause me to want anything to do with this Christ. Their actions don't really encourage me to want to know anything about this Christ. I believe that when we have a true born again, a real born again salvation experience, I believe there's a change. I believe that that change is so predominant, regardless of your personality, whether you're more introverted, shy, or whether you're very outgoing, I still believe that when you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, a true born-again salvation experience, there is a change. And the scripture says, "Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away." If that be the case, and I believe that it is, when Jesus rebuked the demons in the man that was demon-possessed, I believe that man had an awesome experience. He experienced a relationship. He experienced something that was so powerful that it took away his anguish, his aggravation, his problems, his pain. It removed all of that. And because of his relationship now with Christ, and you notice it had just happened, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be a part of the Jesus Evangelistic Association. So something happened to him. He was experiencing and enjoying a new life. It said that he sat around there with Jesus and the disciples, and they said he was clothed and in his right mind. Don't you know that he was excited that Jesus came to where he was? I'm excited today that Jesus Christ came to my heart. I can only imagine where I'd be today. I can pretty much tell you where I think I would be, but I don't think I would be clothed and in my right mind. I may be clothed, but I probably wouldn't be in my right mind. But I want you to hear what he asked of Jesus. In that passage of scripture, he says, "And when he began to plead to Jesus to depart from the..." verse 18. "And when he had got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed..." I like to say, not only demon-possessed, but for you and I, if you've never been demon-possessed, for you that have been born again, because I believe that's what happened to him. I believe he got born again. So when he got in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed, he begged him. That's what it says in my scriptures. He begged him that he might be with him, or that he might go with him. He wanted to go and be a part of what Jesus was doing. But Jesus had something else in store for him. I think so oftentimes when we get born again, you know, we want to go and be a part, especially like an evangelist comes into town and comes and does a revival, or a local minister comes in and does a revival. So oftentimes we want to get connected with that particular person. There's nothing wrong with that, because especially if that person leads you to Christ. Because now you want to be a part of that, part of what they're a part of. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But listen to what Jesus said to him. However, Jesus did not permit him. But he said to him, Jesus said to this man, I want you to go home to your friends. Now, I got to looking at that passage of Scripture, Sister Susan, and I said to myself, how does a man demon-possessed, living in tombs and mountains, crying day and night, cutting himself, running around naked, how does he have any friends? Well, I found out it didn't matter how demon-possessed you are, you're going to have some friends. Most of the time, it's the friends of the same type culture, same type demeanor you are. Like attracts like. So I'm sure he probably had some demonic friends, even if they were in town. I don't know that for sure, but I'm sure that he probably could relate to, and others could relate to him, because, ladies and gentlemen, the devil has always been roaming, and he's always had some people that he manipulated. He definitely got a hold of this man. But Jesus said to him, I want you to go home to your friends. And when I began to think about that, I thought, well, you know, those were the ones that really needed him. His friends that were just like him before he found Jesus. He said, go home to your friends. Now listen to what he told him to tell them. I want you to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. He didn't tell him, I need you to go to seminary so that you can learn how to preach. I want you to go to a 21-day discipleship program. Now, I'm not knocking all of these things. Jesus only asked him, go and tell your friends what I have done for you. That's all he asked him to do. And I want that to sink for just a moment. He knew that he would do more for Jesus sharing his testimony than he would be joining the 12 and all the others in the Jesus Evangelistic Association. I want you to turn with me over to Luke chapter 9. I want you to look with me in verse 26. It says, for whosoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes into his own glory and when he comes into his Father's and of the holy angels. That's a powerful statement. What Jesus is saying, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Now that sounds kind of tough when we think about the love of Jesus, but he has given you and I a choice. And to think that we get born again and we know that such a tremendous change has taken place. And some even filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Some have been given a gift of healing. Some the gift of prophecy. Some the gift of laying on of hands. And still refuse to witness what God has done for them. So I ask you today, have you witnessed? How many people this week have you told about what God has done for you? How many people in the last 30 days, or in the last 2 days, or in the last 24 hours, have you had the opportunity to just share your testimony? I'm convinced that God opens that door for us every day. I'm convinced. You say, well, Pastor Ron, you really don't know my personality. I think he can take that personality and use it for his glory. You say, well, I'm a little, I really don't know what to say. I don't think that Jesus had to tell this man what to say. He just said, go tell your friends what I did for you and the compassion that I've had on you. To me, it seems like so oftentimes people are waiting on somebody else to bring others to Christ. Well, we'll invite a great and well-known evangelist to come and preach in our church. Well, there's people come, but 9 times out of 10, those that come are already born again. They just want to hear and see this well-known fireball evangelist. And I'm convinced today that Jesus is asking and telling, saying to you and I, will you go tell your friends, your family, your co-workers? You see, even though I live 45 minutes away, I don't know what my chances are of people wanting to drive almost an hour to come to church and an hour to go home. I still invite them. I still share my testimony. Every opportunity that I get, I take the advantage of that. You say, Pastor, how do you go about sharing your testimony to just anybody? Well, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked. Because if God has done anything for you, it should not be a problem to share that one thing that he's done for you that was outstanding to you. But Pastor, I'm a little more on the timid side. Like attracts like. I have found that if someone is timid, that usually they're drawn to other people that are timid. And they kind of have their own little clique. Are you following me? Now you take someone that's very outgoing, has a charismatic disposition or air about them. They're always hanging around people, and other people that hang around them are the same kind of people. Birds of a feather flock together. So it doesn't matter what your disposition is, what your personality is. If you want to and are willing, God's going to hook you up with those that need him, that need salvation, of like personality, of like nature. He just does that. I've seen people in Walmart that really didn't have a real strong outgoing personality, but they were standing in line and someone else was checking out in front of them and some comment was made and they kind of just said something very simple like, well, I know what you mean. Or they would turn and look at him and say, whoa, boy, these price of food has sure gone, it's tripled. in the last year, and somebody, and you know, and they, you can just tell all of a sudden, like, they never met each other, but now, wow, they're talking. And then all of a sudden you realize, I wonder if they knew each other. Well, you listen and you find out, well, they really didn't know each other, but boy, they just got to talking. And even though men say they don't, you know, we say, well, we don't say a whole lot. But you get some guys together, and they're going to start talking. People that don't know Jesus don't know what you know. And we're so afraid to think, and we keep it down inside of us thinking, well, what if they don't like me? But what if they do? Well, they'll probably think it's that I'm coming on too strong. No, I believe that when God has done something for you and you share what God is doing for you and has done for you, you're so humbled by it that you're not going to come, and you shouldn't come across with an attitude that says, you know, get over here and listen to me and shut up because I got something to say. No, you learn to just be you. And people accept you, especially when they realize you have something they need. You know, a man said one time in a conference, he said, if you want to get rich, find something people need and fill that need, and you'll get rich off of it. People are looking for their needs to be met. Fill a need. People need Jesus. Look around. Do you see how many empty seats we have in this building right now? Well, I want to challenge you. Find 10 people. This should not be hard. Find 10 people this week, if you're not ashamed, that is. I said that is if you're not ashamed. I got to say that. If you're not ashamed, then you can find 10 people that you can share what Jesus has done for you and the compassion he's had on your life. I don't know what difficulty that would be. You say, well, I'm not around a lot of people. Go where the people are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can sit here today and we can make a ton of excuses as to why we cannot witness. But when it boils down to one thing, you can make excuses all day, but the bottom line is if you're ashamed of him, you will make excuses. And he will be ashamed of you and deny you in the presence of his Father and the holy angels. You say, Pastor, that's a strong message this morning. Yes, it's strong. But my question is, has he done anything for you? If he has, why is it so hard to tell somebody, this is what Jesus did for me? Now you can continue to use the excuse, well, I'm timid, I'm quiet natured. Go ahead and make some excuses. Why don't we just admit, well, I'm just ashamed to get embarrassed. What if I get embarrassed? Do you know what Jesus did? He bled, he died, he suffered, went through hell so that you could find real life, real joy, real peace. And we want to make an excuse about, well, it's just, I just don't feel comfortable. Well, let me remind you, Jesus did not feel comfortable hanging on a cross that you might have life and have it more abundant. So your body could be healed. So your life could be changed. So you don't have to live in hell and degradation. That you could sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the next time you want to make an excuse, just remember what he did and what he went through, and he made no excuse. He just said, This I will do for you. I thank God he was not ashamed of me because he knew my state. He knew I was a sinner bound for hell. And he said, I love you. I'll let them talk down to me. I'll let them call me names. And I'll let them whip me and beat me. But I'm going to go all the way for you. And then I want you not to be ashamed of me and share what he said to this man. Just go tell your friends what I've done. My question is this morning, has he done anything? My God, if I went to go make a list on my paper, I'd have to have several of these books. Because I'll guarantee you, if you'll take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle and you put a line across the top, it says, my troubles and my blessings, your blessings will outnumber your troubles every time. Praise the Lord. If you're not ashamed of Jesus, then I challenge you to share your testimony this week. Find 10 people. Oh, well, what if they don't want to hear me? Find another one. Find somebody else. The only way, listen, I want to see this church continue to be beautified. And there's been a lot of beautification that's going on. A lot of good things have happened here in a little over a year. We have been blessed here. And people have blessed. Ones in this church have blessed this church. I look around. I look at these lights. I walked in again this morning. I said, good. Thank you, Jesus. I can actually see the print on my Bible. I felt like the Lord was saying when I said that, the Lord says, well, I just wish some people would bring their Bibles and open it so they could see the print on theirs. You got yours? Well, good. Folks, I'm thankful that God has truly beautified this church and is continually to dress it up. And I believe that the temple of God should be beautiful. It should represent the God we serve, which is a great, wonderful, wonderful God. But we can do all of this. But if the souls don't come into the kingdom, we have done it all in vain. Yes, God is interested in his house, but he's more interested in his people. He didn't die and suffer on a cross for this temple, for this house, for this building, but he did for you. So my question is today, in closing, are you ashamed of Jesus? Because if you're not, you're going to go into just like that man did. The Bible talks about when he came back into those regions, when Jesus came back, he had a lot of people. They were looking forward to meeting this one Jesus because they saw a change in him. He evangelized. How many counties? 10 towns he evangelized. I think that boy got on fire, don't you? He got a job done. He was not ashamed of the Messiah. It was not a shame. So I hope today that you're not ashamed of Jesus because he's done some good stuff for you. Boy, he has done a lot. Sometimes I feel like I don't do enough for him. So if you're watching online today, I want to encourage you to know this Jesus and share this Jesus. I say this to our congregation. If you know this Jesus, if you know this Jesus, share this Jesus. If each one of us sitting here today would witness to 10 people, just 10 people this week, chances are that at least one is going to come with you or be here to sit with you. Chances are. Now, if there's 30 people in here and we brought just one came out of the 10, that's 30 more. Then there would be 60 here. You say, well, is that all I got to do is just 10? That's the least you should do. I would hope that you'd be more encouraged to talk to more than just 10. But just think about that for a moment. You say, well, who do I witness to? The Lord will lead you. The Lord will lead you. He's looking for a heart that just says, Lord, use me. Use me. That's all he's looking for, is just somebody that would just say, Lord, use me, and then follow through. And he will open doors for you. I remember one time we were at a Shoney's. I don't remember where it was, but it was somewhere in the United States or Canada, somewhere. The Lord had, we had five children, and there were seven of us, so when we would go to a restaurant, it seemed to cost a lot. We went to Shoney's, the kids get, yeah, we get, yeah. Yeah, we got a chance to get free meals for some of the kids until they got a certain age. But I remember when I got there, there was another family that was there, and they had like eight kids. And there was 10 of them all together. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, now he's got a bigger ticket to pay than I do. We had just finished a concert, so we had some money on us. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to buy their dinner. And I thought, yeah, God, you got a real sense of humor. I got to pay for my own, and now you want me to pay? And I had no idea what that bill was going to be. But God will speak to you. He'll open doors for you to be a witness. All I can tell you was is that I kind of argued with God. I'm sure you don't never do that. But I had a little argument with him, internal. God, you know, I need this money to get to the next place, and, well, hotel expenses and diesel fuel expense and on, excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil, he'll remind you from church to stay away. You don't remember that. It was an old song. But I finally gave in, but I made a kind of a deal with God. I said, God, I'll do that. I'll do that. But I'd really like to see you kind of do your part. Y'all, have y'all ever made those kind of deals with God? I will, but I really want to see you. Are you really in this? I mean, are you sure? If you, this is my fleece. If you're in it, I'm all in, but you got to help me. Well, I got up to go to the restroom, washed my hands, and hands were sticky and stuff. I think we had barbecue chicken that night, and hands were sticky. So I went to the restroom to wash my hands, and in behind me comes a man, and I didn't know him, had no idea. And when I walked in, I went over to wash my hands, and the guy, he stood there and waited for me to get through. And I'm thinking, well, he's just probably wanting to wash his hands. And so I went over to put him under the dryer, and he's still standing there, and I'm thinking, And you know, there's some strange people in this world. But he waited for me to get my hands dry, and then he said, excuse me. He said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to give you this. And it was a $100 bill. But this is what he did. Now, I'm not saying that you got to bribe people, but God's going to open the door. And he spoke, and he said, Lord spoke to me and told me he wanted me to give you this. And he says, but I want to ask you a question. He says, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? See, he was just checking. He was taking advantage of an opportunity. He was doing what God had asked him to do. I'm so glad he did, because God followed through on his part when I said, Lord, if you'll do your part, I'll pay for their ticket. I had the money to pay for it, but I really wanted him to kind of add me some more. And he did. And I turned to the guy and said, I do. And I said, you're an answer to prayer. I said, the Lord has laid it on my heart to do something for someone. And I kind of said to the Lord, I need you a little help on this. And he did. And the guy turned to him and he says, well, something to the fact, I'm glad that you know Jesus as your personal Savior, and I'm glad I could be of help. Y'all have a good day. So we did. We departed. Well, when I got ready to leave, I went up to the counter to pay out, and I said to the girl that was at the counter that was paying, helping us to get checked out at the checkout counter, I said, do you know who the waitress was that was waiting on that table? She said, yes, ma'am. I said, would you ask her to come? And let me see her for just a moment. And she did, and she brought her to, and I said, well, if you would you tally up their total? I'd like to take care of their ticket. You remember back when we did this? I took care of the ticket, and I also took care of tipping her as well. And I said, and so when the man comes to you and says, we're ready for our ticket, we're ready to leave, I said, I just want you to say to them, the Lord has taken care of it. The Lord is taking care of it. Now, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but God opened the door for me to witness to the waitress. Who would have ever thought? And I'm sharing this story, and you probably never thought about the waitress being involved, but I got a chance to talk to her. I said, to tell them, God took care of it. And I'll never forget, it touched her, and I had an opportunity to witness. And it all started with me just sitting at the table, minding my own business, eating dinner with my family, and a lot took place. I had a chance to buy their dinner. A man blessed me to pay for their dinner. I was asked if I knew Jesus as my personal Savior, and I had a chance to witness to the waitress. And she was impressed that somebody would buy their meal and leave them a good tip. Because we've always believed that waitresses should be tipped well. God opens the door, folks. It will be sometimes the most unusual way to just share what Jesus has done for you. That is, if you're not ashamed. So I encourage you, those who are watching online, don't be ashamed of this Jesus. If he's knocking on your heart's door right now, let him in. Let him in by praying this prayer with me right now. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I repent of all my sins. Take me as I am. Use me. I will not be ashamed. I will share to this world what you have done for me. In Jesus' name. Now, you've just prayed a sinner's prayer. You've asked Jesus to come into your heart. If you're in here today, I challenge you and encourage you. Go share Jesus. Go have fun. You're going to have more fun than you ever believe possible just by going around sharing your testimony. If somebody don't want to listen, don't want to hear it, what did Jesus tell the disciples when they... He said, when you go in and you share this Jesus in town, he said, if they don't listen, don't have anything to do, he said, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. Because that's all it is, just dust. And I want to close with this. They're not saying no to you. They're saying no to Jesus. I want to say that again. They're not saying no to you. They're saying no to the Jesus in you. And perhaps that God will open a door. When you meet those people that, and you share your heart, if you don't know what to say, I want to encourage you just to keep it simple. Pray a very simple prayer with them.
Make it simple. Not a long, lengthy prayer, Brother Phil, just a simple sinner's prayer. And Jesus hears. See, he knows the heart. And the next thing you know, if you can't pray with him there, invite him to come to your church. You've got a good, beautiful, pretty church to invite him to. The temple's getting prettier all the time. There's no reason not to invite him here. And if I do say so myself, I think the praise team does a wonderful job of worshiping God. They'll feel the presence of God here. There's a lot of churches today. People just go in and do the routines of rituality and never feel the presence of God. You're blessed because you feel the presence of God here. Every Sunday. That ought to make you proud to invite folks to your church. This looks good on the outside. It's looking even better on the inside all the time. Invite somebody. Go share your testimony. Bring somebody with you Sunday. Bring somebody. And if you're feeling good, bring two or three. And watch God change their life. Father, I love you today and I thank you. I praise you. Thank you for the word that's gone forth. Father, I know sometimes the word can be a challenge. It can be tough. But I know that you want us to be a witness. You showed us in the scriptures. You told the man that was demon-possessed. You said, just go and tell your friends what I've done for you and the compassion I've had on you. Father, I pray today that each one has heard this message under the sound of my voice, either in this building or online. I pray, Father, that we will invite someone to come to church with us and to share our testimony, that these seats will be filled with people that need Jesus and they will receive Jesus here, and that your glory will be glorified. Your kingdom will be advanced. Use us to do just that. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me to your feet? We're going to close out with a blessing on your life. I want to say thank you for those of you that are here this morning. Tried to get you out here early today. If Kelly wasn't so long-winded. But what he has to share is so needful and so beneficial, and I know y'all get blessed out of it. I want to just pray a special blessing over all of you here today. And when I pray this blessing, I want you to say within your heart, Father, I receive that blessing on my life. And watch what God does. So I bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. And all that your hands touch, you will be blessed. God will bless everything you touch. Life that you encounter this week will be blessed. God will use you to share your testimony. And others will be brought into the kingdom because of Christ in you and what he's done for you. In Jesus' name, if you can agree with that, say amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information about Passion Church, visit www.mypassion.church.